Hour number two of Overtime, Fan Run Radio. We got one person in here trying to buy tickets, another person in here trying to sell tickets. So, something that I've noticed, not necessarily about this game, because realistically this game is, if you're making the trip down, more affordable than what you're going to get at Neyland. And something that Weston, who called in last week and mentioned, was I hope they keep it to where the common fan can still get in. Have we priced out the common fan?
In my opinion, and this is strictly as a season ticket holder, my season tickets for the home games in Neyland went down 33% from last season to this season, and they are beyond affordable. I'm in Section M, Row 6, and mine are so affordable. So what I would say to these people who are upset with prices, they are literally asking for season ticket holders for next season right now.
Right.
Like, they have already sent emails out, do you want to renew your tickets? We literally haven't got to the fifth game yet. That would be my number one recommendation. They have these little affiliates over there at the university. They will get you hooked up. I mean, we went from having two season tickets to having eight, and they got them all in the same row for us, and we got a 33% discount. Now, of course, depending on where you want to sit, it's going to change, but if you really want to get involved and not get screwed on the price, just become a season ticket holder, and you can get the payment plan. So, like, say I decide right now, which I'm obviously going to renew my tickets, but I can decide right now and get put on a payment plan and get them already paid off well before I'm even thinking about next season for football.
Right.
So, yes and no. Like, when you try to get a ticket and you decide, oh, I want to go next weekend, yeah, you can't find a reasonable ticket. But if you're a season ticket holder,
you're in good hands.
You're in great hands if you find the right section, because the prices are very, very fair.
So that was going to be the only way that I could justify it being attainable for the common man, or the common fan, I should say, is if you don't get season tickets, because, you know, they don't do the Vol Pass anymore.
Right.
That's what I did last year. That was probably the best bang for your buck that you're ever going to get. I paid $300 per ticket, so $600 in total. Sold my Georgia tickets because I couldn't go to that game, and I sold my Pitt tickets. I was able to basically cover almost the entire cost for the season just based off of that.
Absolutely.
And I got to go to a couple games that I wanted to. Now, the other games, kind of did something cool with those. So, yeah. When I say did something cool, basically I did the thing, you know, where I get on Twitter. It's like, if you're a veteran and you can prove to me that you're a veteran, you can have the tickets.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and it was really cool during baseball season. So I got a lot of people that couldn't go, like through some of your midweek games or maybe a Friday game. They couldn't get off of work in time, and they would just DM me. And it's like, guys that hadn't followed me before, they're like, hey, you know, I've got these tickets. Can you get them to somebody for me? I'm like, absolutely. They're like, I don't care if you go, but it's like one of those things. It's like, well, I've already got everything planned out. I can't go. It's like, well, listen, you're a veteran. Hit me up.
They're yours. Yeah. I mean, we did that too on the podcast as well, because I had so many that I could not make for baseball during midweek. You know, if they start at like whatever, 5:30 or something, there's no way I'm making that after work. So we did several giveaways. And then I sold them too for well under, you know, what they were going for
well
later on in
value.
The season.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted people to be able to go.
Yeah.
So baseball is a lot easier to do that for.
Oh, it's a lot easier to sell baseball tickets.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, if you don't have season tickets, they don't have the Vol Pass anymore. If you have another season like this one, it is almost impossible for the common fan to not only take themselves, because you always go in a pair, right?
Right.
So, one, to bring somebody, and now imagine if the wife and the two kids want to go. There's no discounted tickets for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at about a $1,500 day by the time you factor in parking, food, all that, you're looking at about $1,200 to $1,500.
Yeah, for a big game like some of these that we've had or
like Alabama,
coming up.
Even
yeah.
Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky. I mean, it'll be up, and I can't remember what the – weren't we like – we were definitely some of the highest-priced average tickets, right?
I think still are.
Yeah, in the SEC yeah. or probably even nationally too. And it's because Tennessee fans will come out and support when you're doing well, and they do not care to pay.
Well, that's the thing with dynamic ticket pricing too on Ticketmaster.
Yes.
And then you're running into the same problems on like SeatGeek. Or other websites like that. Vivid Seats, I actually paid, I think, what was it, for the Tennessee-Kentucky basketball game in 2020 before everything shut down. Of course, everything's still at full capacity. I think I paid for two tickets, was supposed to be like $20, ended up being like $100. Yeah.
For reference for next week's game at home, the cheapest ticket right now on SeatGeek is starting at $226 apiece.
Where's that at?
Without fees, right?
Without fees, way up there. What you said? You row M or section M, right?
Yep.
So we're low sits right now, section M, row 8. So two rows behind her, $606 apiece.
Ooh.
And that's considered an amazing deal, and that's not including fees. So you're looking at $1,200 without fees, and then probably close to like $1,800 with fees. So,
good God, see
that's an amazing
outrageous.
Deal. Apparently.
See, now that's kind of what I was referencing. Like, you're going to get that for Alabama. You're going to get that for Florida. It might be a little bit cheaper for Kentucky. It's still going to be expensive.
Dude.
Like, there's not going to be a ticket under $100. And if there is, I'm going to be very surprised.
This guy is selling tickets. I think I know this is. He's selling them in my row for $1,800 apiece next week.
What?
Goodness.
And that's considered a good deal on SeatGeek.
That's a great deal.
Greedy.
What a great deal.
Sure, some Bammer will buy those. Great.
Oh, what's he going to do? Refinance his transmission to go buy the tickets?
Yeah, he's gonna buy his yearly income on these tickets. God.
Did I really just say refinance his transmission?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't know you could do that, but that's a new one, Jake.
I have said refinance the house, refinance the car. I don't think I've ever said refinance the transmission.
They just went up while I was talking. $240 is now the cheapest. In 2 minutes that we just talked about it.
Good God.
They were listening.
That they were.
Hello, SeatGeek.
Hit me up with a promo code. Oh, my goodness. Oh, so, the fact of the matter is if you work normal job, and what is the average median income for a person in the United States, I think it's like, what, 38,000?
40. I was going to say 40, but yeah, that's pretty close.
So you take somebody like that, they're probably bringing home, what would you say, about $2,600 a month after taxes. I would say taxes
year,
and fees.
Right?
Taxes and fees. I mean, that's what the government is. It's all taxes and fees when you break it all down.
You got to think about if they have any sort of retirement plan, health insurance, all of that takes out of it too.
I mean, you're looking at a month's salary to take your entire family to the game.
That is outrageous.
Well, I'm just blown away by these prices for Bama. The most expensive ticket I can find right now is $3,260 apiece. And that's considered a deluxe price, which just means like terrible, like off the charts terrible price. So I don't know. Someone may get desperate enough to buy that, though.
They might. Well, if anyone is looking for LSU tickets, make sure to hit me up on Twitter. Hey. I have two ready to sell.
Whoa, we'll make sure you get hooked up. And I will say this, since we're talking about this, if Tennessee, for whatever reason, makes it to the championship game, not the SEC championship, the college football playoff final, I would consider ruining my credit to go watch that.
I would max out my credit card.
Make sure you buy the house first. Make sure you're closed on the mortgage.
Closed on my house, then max out the credit card. I would never – oh, my God. I would absolutely do it. I mean, there's just no way I wouldn't. How could I sit at home?
How could you?
I couldn't. There's no way.
Where's the championship game this year? Is it in LA?
Phoenix.
Oh, it's in Phoenix.
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, I wish you hadn't said that. It's all 98. You're 4-0. You beat two top 25 teams. One of them's on the road. And the championship game is in Phoenix. Granted, back then it was in Tempe, which is, I don't think, too far from Phoenix. I don't know my geography. Maybe Terry Farrell will call in here in a minute and inform me on that. But right now we just got to focus on LSU. How do y'all feel about the Smoky Grays on a road game?
I think it's an interesting call. It's very, it's a little bit cocky, I think.
Yeah, I was literally about to say that.
But if they pull it out, then I'm going to love it, right?
Oh,
I
yeah.
I mean, if they pull it out in the Smoky Grays, LSU don't want the smoke.
They're getting the smoke.
Yeah.
Smoky Grays.
Those post-game picks will be hard if they win. If they lose, you're just going to look like an idiot. But I thought it was interesting that they did it today, like Monday, very first day of the week.
And yeah, it's like usually it comes later in the week.
Like Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday. Yeah.
Wednesday's usually the announcement. I guess they're just trying to get everyone juiced up and ready to go. I mean, I can't think of any other way because we'll still see the black jerseys. Y'all think they'll
Kentucky.
Do that for or Bama?
Nah, yeah, I got to do a Kentucky, man. I wouldn't do it against Bama.
You know what they need to do for the Alabama game? Do it like they did in the 60s. Tennessee wears orange, Alabama wears red.
That would be cool. I would like that.
Lane Kiffin tried to do it in 2009. But if we had done it, if we had wore the orange jerseys, white pants against Alabama's crimson top, white pants, we would have had a timeout taken in each half and a 15-yard penalty to start the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the first thing I thought of, you know, thinking back to that just a few minutes ago, was Dooley's last year in the Georgia Dome, NC State. They wore red. We wore orange. Just a really good uniform matchup.
Very good game, too, for us.
Oh, that was a great game. Cordarrelle Patterson just doing what he does. I'm trying to think. There's not many. I mean, I say there's not many. There's teams that do that every now and again. What are some other teams that you would like to see both teams wear the primary colors? Obviously, if it were Tennessee, Texas, or somebody like that, you couldn't do it.
Does that have to be SEC-related?
It can be SEC-related.
Okay.
Yeah. Georgia, Florida.
That would be a good one.
Alabama, Auburn. Tennessee, Kentucky. Literally any team that we play, you could do that against.
That's true.
I don't know. I think Mizzou would look kind of stupid. Them wearing black, like, I don't know. Black and orange just doesn't really – it looks very Halloween-y. Like, doesn't really pop.
Halloween-y.
Yeah, Halloween-y. It does.
Fan run out of context.
Pause.
But, I mean, that's something that I would like to see again.
I mean, what? Why is it such a big deal? Why is that such an issue? Honestly, why is that?
Honestly, it just depends on the coach. Now, the reason that we didn't do it is because Nick Saban said he wouldn't allow it. So if he would have went to the official and said, hey, listen, I didn't allow these guys to do that. You're giving away a timeout. You're giving away the 15-yard penalty. And I don't know. I think we should have done it anyway. That would have been cool to see. Max, no, it wouldn't have been cool to see because we would have done it and then still got Mount Cody at the end of the game.
The timeout would have been very – because we did call the timeout to set up the field goal to win the game. And if we had to use one of those, we would have – I don't know. I mean, it would have been less pain knowing that we just ran out of time than have it blocked for the third time. So
it would have been less pain because knowing that you had a chance is what made that so hard. That was the worst part about that is the fact that you had a chance. And then the next year – you get the Dooley's Dozen down at LSU.
I thought it was 14.
No, that was 2010.
Yeah, at LSU, we had 14 people on the field.
13.
Sorry.
We had a defensive end lined up on a wide receiver.
That is so, so bad.
And then later in the year, he figures it out and he gets screwed again by the officials this time. They were rushing their guys out. They had 13 guys on the field. We were going to try rushing the kick block team out, and they were pretty much on the sidelines like, no, no, you all stay put. We're not doing this again. You all stay put. It works out in our favor, but then the officials did what the officials do.
Seen that clip, the clip of that play at LSU has been going around today. Like Clay Travis put it out, Josh Pate put it out, and I don't know.
And you couldn't see it because at one point the camera had panned. It had panned a dually. That's when you don't see the change. And the problem is, we had three guys running on, two guys coming off the field, and then one turned around and came back. That's how we got the 13. One guy went that wasn't supposed to go, and then one guy turned around.
We're so confused because they had no timeouts, neither do we.
No, and they were trying to run.
They didn't know either.
No, they didn't have their throwing quarterback in because Jefferson was their running quarterback. They were playing two quarterbacks that game. And they didn't have their throwing quarterback on the field. So they're looking at the sideline. I think there's like 17 seconds left is when we made the stop at the one. And then they're looking over to the sideline. They're confused. It's like, what do we do? What do we do? So then they're running people out. We're running people out. We have another guy turned back. I never did count, and I still haven't to this day, how many people were on the field for LSU during that play. Because that's something that, looking back at, if they had had 12 people on the field, the penalty would have offset and we won the game.
Well, T-Bob Hebert just threw his helmet down. There should have been a penalty on them.
He did both plays. He did that play and then the play after where they won the game. Should have been penalties on both of those.
You pulling that up right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good to...
I'm a sucker for pain, I guess.
Well, we're going to go to break. We're going to endure some pain here in the next few minutes. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Turn it off. I don't want to endure any more pain.
Jesus. Okay, so we just rewatched that, right?
Yeah.
And if the roles were reversed and Tennessee was on offense,
no.
That would have never,
no.
ever happened. I don't care who you are. We would have never gotten to review that after the clock expired.
No, Mark Carl's illegal participation on the defense.
That is absolutely out of control. I can't even get over that. That's
I
so
hate
sick
that guy.
Watch.
I still hate that guy to this day.
Even if we were at home that game, like, there's no way they would, like, allow that.
No, not a chance.
I think they were scared. I think Curtis was just scared because that was, like, the height of Les Miles. I think he was intimidated by him and just kind of, you know.
Well, that's why everybody blew their top last year, is because the people that knew that was the same guy against Ole Miss. It's the same guy.
People blew their top for a lot of reasons.
Well, yeah.
Last year. I mean, that game was so out of control.
But I mean,
so bad.
With that officiating crew, nothing surprised me. Let's go to the phones. Roberto is up next. What's up, Roberto?
Hey, did you buzz me in coming out of the break there?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure because I heard it, so I'm muted. See, that's what a good caller does. They know their P's and Q's, right?
Yes.
I won't consider myself a good caller, but at least I've called enough to be learned. Ladies and gents, thank you for pissing me off. I actually just broke three things in my house.
Good!
just kick my dog.
Oh, poor guy.
No, I'd never kick old Bo Cephas. He's too good a boy. Yeah, he's a good boy. Yeah, he's staring me in the face. Sorry.
But he isn't anything like Beauregard Kelly down at Louisiana State University.
Hello, Miss Lorraine. This is Beauregard Kelly. I don't know if you've heard, but I have a position open on my staff. All you got to do is crawl up that there crane.
Just stand up there in the wind. Just blowing in the wind.
Oh!
That guy. God. So, moving forward. Y'all, I'm a little nervous about this weekend. I didn't think I would be. I'm a lot less confident in the LSU victory than I am in the Florida victory, at least on Overreaction Monday, the week before, leading in. I don't like that the line is moving so far away from us so fast. It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, and that was one of the things that we noticed when we got here. I just looked down at FanDuel, and I was like, oh, my goodness. That went from 4.5 to 2.5.
Okay, so it's at 2.5 now. Somebody I really trust that everybody loves around here seems to think that it's going to go to almost a 1 or a pick 'em. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. Because I got it at 4, and I thought I was on the good side of that number when I got it at 4. Because when it went to 4, from 4.5 to 4, I was like, nobody's going to bet that under 3. And yet here we sit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's a rough one. It's going to be – I knew that this was going to be insanely close from the get-go. And as I sit right now, I just know that it's probably going to come down to a field goal. I really have that feeling. I don't know which side.
Well, that makes me sick in my
stomach. Mm-hmm. I think it's worthy to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, and Roberto, it's one of those things we said last week. You know, you look at the timeline of games played in Baton Rouge since the turn of the century, 2000. Overtime loss, one-score game. 2005, overtime win, a one-score game.
Win.
2010, one-score loss.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. My freshman and my senior year there, I got an extra semester my senior year to make sure I got an extra football season.
Attaboy.
Those were. I remember that 05 game. I remember where I was. I did not get to go, but I was. I just met my wife, my now wife, I should say, and not a Russian mail order or anything. And we were watching it in her dorm, and it was wild. We were like, oh, my God. And, I mean, I remember when we scored to win, when we won that game. Like, y'all weren't in school yet, were you? You're not even old enough to – you're probably like 10 when that game happened.
So, I was going into middle school.
I was
– wow.
Let's see. You said 2005.
Yeah.
I was 8.
I was 4.
Wow.
I'm old.
Wow. Okay. Well, I was already planning on having kids and had a career. I remember everybody in the fort, everybody on, you could hear people from the other side of the river screaming, running around like, I forget what they're called, over there, College Park, I guess is what it used to be called when I was there. You could literally hear people just screaming. It was such a big deal. And that's what I want this. I want the younger generation of UT, young alum like yourself and UT students, current to understand what that's like. That's what I hope for you guys this year. I hope you get a taste of that because you've earned it. You really have. All of you've earned it. I've had my time. I'm slowly and blissfully sailing off into the sunset. But for you guys, I hope you have a lot of fun. And I was going to go this weekend, but sadly COVID struck the in-laws, and therefore I have nobody to babysit, so I won't be going. But with that said, I'm so glad that people are going to go down there, travel. I think it's going to be a nice atmosphere. It's not going to be a night game per se, but they're going to be pretty stoked. They're going to be pretty fired up. It's going to be a lot of fun. I am a little worried, but if Sed Till, I don't think he's going to play. I guess I heard Warren Burrell's out for the season today. I don't know if y'all talked about that. I may have missed that segment.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know. It feels weird, and maybe it's just because we're so Tennessee, right? It's the most Tennessee thing ever to be ranked in the top 8 with a chance to be undefeated and then maybe the top 5 when Alabama rolls in here next week. You know, it's so Tennessee to go down there and lose by a point on, like, an extra missed extra point or something. So maybe that's just my battered ball syndrome. But I just say this. I do think that our offense will outscore them. It's a matter of if we can stop the quarterback. And I really do hope that old Beauregard Kelly is dumb enough to trot his injured quarterback out there against us, because I think a 75% version of that guy is better than a 100% version of Nussmeier, even though he's definitely limited, but they know his limitations, whereas Daniel's going to get out of the pocket and do something stupid because he's got a bad wheel and maybe create a turnover or two that they're not supposed to. So I think the number's right. It's between 2.5 and 4. I still think the ball should be favored. But, y'all, I don't know what you're on tonight, but I'm playing the over. Have a good one.
Appreciate it, Roberto. The over hits, it's going to be close. It's going to be real close. Let's keep it rolling. Tommy is up next. What's up, Tommy?
How y'all doing this evening?
Good.
Good. Man, I'm starting to get ticked off these callers.
What's going on, Tommy?
I mean, come on. 2 weeks ago, we was all hyped up and ready. We had college game day here. We're going to beat Florida's ass. Everybody's good. Everybody's confident. And it come down to the wire, and Florida had a chance to beat us, and they didn't. And now all of a sudden everybody's scared of an LSU team who is really, in my opinion, is not that great.
With their Why family.
Yeah, and his family. I ain't scared of them and their damn family. I mean, it ain't like we're going down there in the middle of the night when they're all liquored up. I mean, even if Tillman's out, even our backups, I think we can go down there and at least win by a touchdown. I'm not saying we're going to hang up on them. I know it's going to be a tough game. That's a tough atmosphere, and that's a pretty good football team. But, I mean, we're ranked number 8 in the country now. We gotta act like we got some, you know what. And we got to go down there and play like we do. And these fans, they get behind it. Quick, all right, battered ball syndrome, it's got to go.
Tommy, saying what we needed to hear. Because I really do think it's different. We don't have the same type of coaches that we've had the past 10 years or so. It really does feel different because, I mean, you look at the Florida game, and Tommy, you'll attest to this. Under the previous coaching staffs since Philip Fulmer, 99 times out of 100, Tennessee probably loses that game against Florida, and we didn't.
Oh, yeah. He'd been wide open in the end zone with nobody 15 yards around him and the quarterback had all day to make that pass. But, yeah, getting off that real quick so my blood pressure can get down. I didn't get to watch hardly any college football this weekend because Dish Network can go to hell.
Now, that is – I'm glad you brought that up. Dish Network customers could not hardly watch anything on a Disney-affiliated channel. So, ABC, ESPN, SEC Network, ESPNU, all that crap. You couldn't watch any of it.
And there was no warning. They didn't say, hey, you know, such and such date, we're going to drop these channels. I woke up. Done my Saturday morning routine. I took me a shower, made breakfast, got me a cup of coffee, went and sat in the man cave, turned TV on, put it on ESPN. It's not there.
Oh, my God. Put
it on, it's not there.
They renewed, Tommy. Did you see that?
They finally did after the weekend.
Well, they should. Everyone should get a free bill. Like, everyone – I mean, honestly, that is absolutely atrocious to do.
Well, that's the only reason I have their satellite hanging on the side of my house is because where I'm living, I don't have the high-speed internet to stream everything. So I kept this network just for my NASCAR and my football channel. And when I didn't have them, I almost got up there and ripped it off the house. It almost happened.
Well, and that is why, you know, we had this conversation a few weeks ago about if college football would go solely streaming – or not solely streaming, but have a streaming platform where you can get every game regardless of actually, you wouldn't even have a provider at that point, but if they were to go with like Apple TV or Amazon Prime, YouTube TV, like everything is on that, that might be the move because, you know, we talked about earlier too about how a lot of people get blacked out of Braves games.
Right. It just depends on where you live, what you get to watch, and it gets aggravating at times.
Oh, and especially aggravating when you pay for MLB extra innings and you can't watch your team. It's like, oh, well, you're blacked out on here because you have to watch on your local network. You turn it on the local network. Guess what? Still can't watch the Cubs game.
That's it. I know y'all up against it. Real quick, Jake. NASCAR. I know I'm gonna get that out of the way real quick so everybody don't get mad. What do you think about the race? You think them boys is holding back? It wasn't our typical Talladega race. You think everybody was holding back with all the concussions going on, not only in NASCAR with the 3 or 4 drivers, but also with the NFL with Tua. with college and with, you know, USC fighters and everything.
So I think – I don't think this car is what NASCAR thought it would be. And, Tommy, I think you'll vouch for this. If we're having this many more injuries in this car than what we've had in the previous two generations combined, something's bad wrong, man.
Oh, man, you look at the hit that Kurt Busch took at Pocono to put him out since. That's not a hard hit, but the car is so tough. You know, the cars are designed to, you know, tear apart to absorb some hits to take it off the driver. This car doesn't. It's like being in a bumper car and bouncing up against the wall hard as you can. You feel every impact of it.
Yeah, and so, that's, you know, that's not good for the sport. I mean, you saw what happened. Different situation, but, I mean, Jordan Anderson caught fire while his car was still in motion. He was jumping out of the car as the car was still in motion. And we're not talking about going, like, 5 miles an hour. No, he's probably going, what, 25, 30 before he hit the wall? Like, he was already trying to get out of the car.
And if he'd have fell out of that truck, he was just get mashed up against the wall. I mean, that was a scary, scary scene.
Oh, it might have killed him.
Right. It's just crazy with all the concussions, you know, across all different platforms of sports, you know, NASCAR, NFL, whatever. But maybe it brings some awareness to all of them. But real quick, Jake, and I'll get off here. Who you got for the Roval?
Chase Elliott.
That's who I'm thinking. It's hard to pick against him, Mayor. He's kind of the king of that track.
That he is.
But I appreciate y'all letting me on. I'll get off here and let somebody else get in and let y'all get home.
Appreciate it, Tommy. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
So you're watching.
Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. Guys, football season is underway, so now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code OVERTIME. So, one of the things that we like to do, guys, is we like to do same-game parlays for the NFL. We like to do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we also love doing a lot of college bets. Just because right now, with the way things are shaping up in the college landscape, you don't really know what's going to happen. That's what's so great about football this season. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started and get paid your winnings fast. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with the promo code OVERTIME for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code OVERTIME. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. All right. You guys ready to make some picks?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Well, if I could get logged in, life would be great. I've only got my picks. I don't have the actual spreads or anything in front of me. There we go. All right. First game. Arkansas, Mississippi State. Mississippi State coming into the top 25 this week. Arkansas falls out. Mississippi State, an 8.5-point favorite. Money line. For Arkansas, plus 235, over under 61.5. I think Arkansas bounces back. I'm taking the Arkansas money line.
Wow.
I'm taking Arkansas spread. That seems way too – you said 8.5?
Mm-hmm.
That just seems way too high.
So you're taking the Arkansas spread?
It's at State, right?
Yes.
This year? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they cover that at least. I don't know if they win, but I think they cover that.
I am torn. That's a pretty large spread for that.
See, that's what I said.
All right. I do think Mississippi State wins, but I'll take Arkansas to cover at 8.5.
Yeah, that's a weird one. That one. Mm. Okay. Let's go ahead and get this over with. Let's go ahead and appease the people out in the Midwest. TCU at Kansas. TCU, a 7-point favorite. Kansas money line at plus 240. Over under 67.5. After I just bash them, I'm going to take the Kansas money line.
What's the TCU money line at?
Minus 300.
Just give me TCU money line. I hate Kansas. That's my reasoning.
This one's tough. Over-under's too risky. I would not.
The spread's too risky.
Yeah.
Everything is too risky on this game.
Everything's too risky. If we're allowed to, I think TCU is hot right now, so I would take TCU money line. The payout isn't going to be great, but over-under and spread are just too iffy. So
way too iffy.
Yeah.
Up next, our game, number 8, Tennessee at number 25, LSU. Tennessee, a 2.5-point favorite. Over-under 63.5 now. Tennessee money line. I'm really scared this might be a 1-point game or a 2-point game. So I'm just going to go ahead and play it safe, take Tennessee money line. Is it even playing it safe at this point?
I'm going to show some guts here, and I'm going to go we cover the spread. I don't know. I don't know why everybody's so nervous right now. I walked in here feeling a little nervous, but I think we blow them out, honestly.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right.
For the fact that I feel like it might be about a 3-point game. Even if it's something like 33-30, the over-under's still iffy. I'm just going to go Tennessee money line as well.
I think this is going to be the hardest bet that we make
week. This is very difficult. I'm struggling. I think we should win. I think we can. But it's just too close to call. The over-under's iffy because this could be just a crap scoring game too.
It could be.
I mean, it really could be. So I'm just going to say – speak it into existence that we're going to win. So I'm just going to take Tennessee money line.
I like it. Texas at Oklahoma. Texas, 7.5-point favorite. Over under 65.5. Texas is covering that spread, guys. I have no confidence in Oklahoma.
I guess. Can I take the OU money line? Is that?
Yeah, OU money line's at plus 230. They're the underdog.
Yeah, give me the Oklahoma money line. They're bouncing back.
Where's it played at?
The Cotton Bowl.
It's like neutral.
Oh, okay.
The original Cotton Bowl.
I'm going to go with the under, actually, at 65.5.
Damn it.
Across the board, everyone going with a different bet. I like it. Missouri at Florida. Florida, 10.5-point favorite. You cannot take the Florida money line. Over-under, 54.5. That under is intriguing to me, but I think Missouri covers the 10.5.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. The way they played Georgia, they've got some fire into them. I don't know how that happened, but I think Missouri covers that at 10.5.
I can take Florida money line, right? Because my thing it says minus 450.
You can take it.
Play it safe here. I mean, I think Mizzou has just given up. I think that was their last, like, hope or whatever, their last shot. Last Saturday, they put everything into that. So, go Florida money line.
Auburn at Georgia. Georgia, a 29.5-point favorite. Over under at 50 even. I'm going to go over 50.
I'm going to go Auburn money line. I don't. Georgia's covered. Came out wrong. I meant Auburn to cover. Apologies.
Bro, you just went from being like semi dark skinned to white.
I don't even know what that means, but sure.
If I'm looking at the way Georgia's played their last couple games, they only put, what, 33 up on Samford or someone like that?
Kent State.
And then this past weekend against Mizzou, something's happening there. I don't know if they're going to come out and throttle Auburn, but I just don't see them covering 29.5. And the over-under is weird, too. Auburn only scored 14 against LSU. I don't think Georgia will score that much. So I'm tempted between the under and Auburn to cover, but I think I feel better about Auburn covering.
Interesting. Number 9, Ole Miss at number nothing, Vanderbilt. Ole Miss, 18.5-point favorite. Cannot do the money line for Ole Miss. Over-under at 59.5, under 59.5 for me.
I'm going to go with Jake's answer, too. I'm going to go with under because I've bet Ole Miss over, and they've screwed me a few times, so I'm going to go under.
I can't find this one. I like to stare at it before I pick it. I can't find it. What the heck? All right. What'd you say again?
18.5-point spread, over under 59.5. I'm a Davis. Like, every time I've picked the over on Ole Miss, I have
– they never come through.
No.
I'm going to go with the under.
I think it was under this week, too, with Kentucky, because they only combined for, what, that wasn't a lot.
40 points,
yeah,
roughly.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kentucky, that is the next one. 10.5-point spread. South Carolina at number 13, Kentucky. You can take the Kentucky money line. Over under at 49.5 with better odds for the under. And I really like the under in this one. As well. Call me the Undertaker.
I don't know. I'm torn. This may sound bizarre, but I'm going with South Carolina to cover 10.5.
All right.
I'm a Jake. I'm going to go with the under. South Carolina's offense is terrible. And by the way, Spencer Rattler's thrown 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions so far, in case you're wondering. But, yeah, both these offenses are, like, not knock it out of the park or anything. So, I'm going to go under 49.5.
And final game. Actually, no. We got 2 more. My bad. Florida State at NC State. NC State a 3-point favorite. Over, under, 52.5. Florida State money line for me.
That's what I was going with, too. Florida State money line.
NC State covers, Florida State's frauds.
He's standing on that hill. Got to give him credit. Now our last one. This is the last one. It's very weird because it's Alabama, Texas A&M at Alabama. The spread is 23.5. You have better odds of covering the Alabama spread than what you do for Texas A&M to cover. Over-under is at 52.5. I like Alabama to cover. I think Alabama covers, and I think Jimbo Fisher gets fired next week.
What?
Make that a prop bet.
I'm pretty much there with you, Jake. I think after this weekend and watching how Alabama kind of bounced back,
mm-hmm.
I think they'll cover.
Because, I mean, Arkansas had that game, like, within reach.
Oh, definitely. And then Alabama looked like they were really having a meltdown, and then out of nowhere just powered all the way through.
Got blown away.
I'm taking Alabama to cover.
I'm going to go Texas A&M to cover. I mean, we've had hype about this game since, what, June now? It's been, like, the most hyped game all year.
Really, ever since last year.
Yeah, Saban and Jimbo. I mean, I don't think Alabama wins by 50 or anything like that, but I think it'll be more of a battle because you went to our backs against the wall. We thought A&M's back was against the wall after App State. They lose this game, get blown out.
He's done.
It's a huge possibility. So I'm just going to take A&M to cover here.
I mean, you can't talk the game that he talked over the summer, basically wanting to expose everything that Nick Saban has ever done, saying he's a cheater, he's done this, he's done that. It's like, well, guess what? He might have done that, but guess what? They're a better football program than you.
You got to show up after talking all that.
You've got to at least show up. And if he doesn't show up, the boosters are going to take notice of that. And let's be honest, with the stuff that he said about Nick Saban, he is Nick Saban is going to go full throttle.
It's personal.
Until the game is over. Like, you might see a fake punt, kind of like what we did with Ohio State and Rutgers, with Greg Schiano coming all the way across the field. It's like, buddy, guess what? Your team sucks. Get back on your sideline.
And you
There's
suck.
A reason we didn't want you here.
Yeah, I don't see Saban holding back anything in this game. I think he just blows it out of the water.
Oh, he is going to make Jimbo Fisher hate life. And the thing is, if Jimbo Fisher gets fired, they're going to owe him, I think it's...
$95 million?
I think it's the tune of like $75, $85 right now.
Oh, my God.
They have that,
they
though.
They'll pay that? Who are they going to get?
Urban Meyer.
Phil said Urban Meyer.
They're going to get Urban Meyer! But that's the thing is, Urban only goes to programs that have talent, and that is something that they have, is they have talent. Now, I will say... That is a hefty buyout to pay. I think it might actually end up being the biggest buyout in sports history.
When you include a staff also.
That's why you don't give a contract like that to somebody like Jimbo Fisher. Michigan State, you just gave that ridiculous raise and extension to Mel Tucker. Guess what? You're stuck with it. Thing is, Michigan State does not have the money to buy him out. Mm-hmm. They're stuck in that situation. Texas A&M, they got the money to spend, but they got to understand it's like once this is done, it is done. Now, I don't know if it's one of those deals where they pay him that immediately or if they pay him over a course of a few years, kind of like what we've done with our coaches. But I just don't want to be in their shoes.
I mean, Jimbo can't use that recruiting excuse anymore, can he?
No.
I mean, this is number one, the best recruiting class ever, and they're still just average on the field.
I'm interested to see, and we'll get into this more tomorrow, but the comparison of Jimbo Fisher to Kevin Sumlin. I think they're very similar.
It's the same record through, 52 games? I'm dead serious. Like, it's the same exact record.
And they're paying him that much money.
Yeah.
They're paying him that much money. That is incredible. They're gonna buy him out. They're going to pay the $75 million, $80 million, whatever it is, they're going to pay him. And he is going to walk out of there, and he might not ever get a job again. But the fact of the matter is, he is going to be a very rich man.
Yeah, I mean, I would take that. I'd be begging for them to buy me out just so I can get out of this whole thing, go off to an island somewhere, never look back. That'd be me.
It's like Ed Orgeron said, oh, you going to pay me my $17 million? What time you want me to leave and which door you want me to walk out of? That's going to do it for us on overtime. Thank you, Lowe.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Something else coming up next right here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.